talks. It's Thursday afternoon, 5:30. I feel like I'm kind of under the gun here. So I appreciate if I do have your attention and I don't feel rushed because I have a lot of things to say. I do tend to get a little bit nervous and ramble, but I'll find my way back. And hopefully by the end of this 18 minutes, you'll walk out of here with, I don't know if it was shining eyes, but hopefully something that's going to keep you thinking for the weekend. I'm a little bit meticulous about documenting my reality, so I have my own camera here because I don't know if I'll ever be able to find all these videos, and I want to have this go on to as big an audience as possible. And a lot of my talk is about that. It's about this idea of being able to connect and communicate with as big of an audience as possible. So before we start, I want you guys to say hi to my audience here. Everyone wave. Maybe stand up a little bit. Come on, get up. I get the blood flowing. Don't get back and dying over here, right? Do something silly. Shake your butt. Say hi. All right. Yeah. All right. Before I get into the talk itself, I want to kind of go into the idea of presenting a TED Talk. Because, again, when Julie kind of set the idea up, like, I'm really excited. But didn't really understand all they would take to do something of this magnitude. And, we've all watched the TED Talks, and today we've talked about them a little bit. But to actually sit down and try to do one is a very difficult task. I highly suggest you just try to put one together just for fun, even if you don't present it to anyone, because it really, really makes you think. For the last 10 days, I've been using collaborative brain mapping sites with teachers in Australia and the U.S., trying to brainstorm ideas. I've been on Twitter. I've been all over the place trying to sort my ideas out. So it's really kind of connected me with a lot of different people. I would also recommend highly assigning a TED Talk to students, obviously higher level high school students, but to have them research a topic or have an idea and present a TED Talk could be life-changing, actually. So let's go back and take a look at TED Talk philosophy. They talk about revealing something that's never been seen before. Oh, piece of cake, right? Not so much. When you really sit down and think about what it is you're going to talk about, and try to think of something that's never been seen before in 2009, in the internet age, I would say it's nearly impossible. So I racked my brain, and I've seen this picture a while back, so I thought I'd just show you this. Krispy Kreme hamburger donuts. Some of you might have seen this floating around the internet, some of you may not. Whether you have or not, I figure, how many have seen this a Krispy Kreme hamburger donut before? Raise your hand.
I don't want to see one again.
Oh, yeah, only one, my wife. Okay, TED Talk philosophy, check one. Reveal something never seen before. There you go. If anything, you can walk out of here with that. Do something that the audience will remember forever.
Here we go.
Forever. I barely remember what I did today at 8 o'clock this morning. And I'm supposed to say something that you're going to remember forever. Again, tough order. I'll let you be the judge if that happens. To share an idea that could change the world. Oh, piece of cake. I've been trying to change the world since I was 9 years old, and I still haven't come up with an idea that's done it. So I'm not really sure if this is the talk, but again, I'll let you be the judge. But they do give you some advice to do these three simple tasks, right? I think the advice I can handle if the philosophy is a little bit complicated. They say, show us the real you. That I think I can do pretty easily, because I don't know any other me, right? So the real me is what you're going to get. And I think this ties into a lot of what we've been talking about today, this idea of authenticity, this idea of leadership, this idea of honesty. And that's going to be pretty much the backbone of my talk. Share your passions, your dreams, and also your fears. Again, ask some of my friends, ask my wife who's in the room right now. I not only share my passions, dreams, and my fears, I tend to shove them down people's throats. Right? So this is an easy step for me, no problem. Be me and tell people what I like and what I dream about. Be vulnerable. You'll see that part when we get to it. And speak of failure as well as success. And I think I'm going to do that as well. I'd share a story with you guys about some failures that I've had. So, what is my idea that can change the world? What is the basic thing I'm trying to have you guys listen to today? And the basic idea is just rehashing what Ted says. I want you guys to be able to reveal the real you. And get away from this idea of professional and personal. I think as teachers, we often get hidden behind these walls of, this is my teacher role, and this is why I'm outside of school. And so what I want people to start understanding is that you can be you in the classroom. So, one. Two, share your passions, your dreams, your fears, and your doubts. And share them with as many people as you possibly can. within your classroom, your students, your coworkers, the World Wide Web. Be vulnerable. It's okay. It's okay not to have the answers. It's okay to be in a school environment and expose yourself and be vulnerable every once in a while and build relationships. Don't be afraid and live your life like it's a TED Talk. That's my idea that can change the world. I don't know. Let's see. Let's see what this looks like. The idea, again, that I'm sharing, it shouldn't be anything new. We've talked about, we've learned these things from the time we start kindergarten until we go through high school. Is that right, Johnson?
Yeah.
What
did I say?
Dude. I should have turned that off. I don't have nothing bad.
Memorable.
That was me being vulnerable. Figure out who you are. Okay, so these are the three steps, I think, that we can take to be able to achieve our TED Talk goal. And this idea of figuring out who you are, I'll talk more on it later, but it's this idea that somehow when we turn 18 and graduate high school, all of a sudden we're these finished people. Right? And I think students tend to think that way when they look at their teachers. Oh, when I turn 18 and graduate, I'm going to have all the answers and I'm done. And what I'm going to say here today is that's not the case. We are seldom ever done. And I think the idea of reflecting and looking at yourself and figuring out who you are is a very, very important role in being a teacher. Two, share what you find. Okay? Share your reflections about who you are. We live in an age where you can, again, shove your dreams and ideas down as many people's throats as you possibly can. There are tools everywhere. If you want to share your reflections and your dreams and your ideas with the world, the internet world is at your fingertips. Once you've figured out who you are and you've started to share it, start building communities around these findings. Start finding like-minded people that are going to help you advance your, I hate to use the word agenda, it sounds so sinister, but that are going to help you promote the ideas that you have. And I think Seth Godin talks about it. I've only seen the TED Talk once, this idea of tribes. I voted for it. I wanted to watch it today, but apparently the other two won out. So these are the three main ideas I want to kind of focus in on. This idea of figuring ourselves out, sharing it with as many people as we can, and in turn, building communities around these explorations. Okay, so you see the quote behind me. I'm not going to read it to you because that's, I think, PowerPoint 101. You're not supposed to read what's on your slide to other people, right? Not too much text. See, I've been reading my presentations and books, right? Not too much text and no, what do you call it? You're not supposed to read what they say, so I'll leave you to read that. But I want to go back to this idea of the myth of the finished person. I'm a firm believer in all aspects of life that it's more important to focus in on process rather than product. And when we think about that, about assessments or things that students do in class, why can't we apply that to ourselves as well? I don't think I will ever be, until the day, even the day I die, a final product. Okay? We are all processes, and we are constantly changing. And so this idea of identity, and who, what our identity is, one of the things that I'm passionate about, this idea of exploring and figuring out who we are. Later on, I'll tie that into why I think that's important for the classroom and teacher-student relationships. But right now, I want to talk about this idea of identity. Walking around our campus, I go up, my classroom is right near the computer lab. And every morning I walk in there and I see children on the computers before school. And usually they're the children of the parents that work there. I always kind of see over their shoulders. I'm always curious to see what kids are doing on the computers when they're on their own. And a lot of times I see them on the, I don't remember the names of the sites now, but they're building these avatars. And usually you see some kind of generic man or woman. And so the people, the children are putting on, you know, whether it's lipstick or hair or giving them a BMW or painting their nails or giving them these identities. And as I look at this, I think to myself, you know, like, who's having these conversations with these kids about what all this means? It's difficult enough to build an identity for yourself in everyday life and walk around in those, you know, in those shoes and clothes. But when you start doing it online, it starts to become much more difficult and much more complicated. And I think kids are starting to do it at a much younger age. And so to give them this idea that we are completed projects and we are completed identities, I think is misleading. I think we need to start being vulnerable and allowing students to know that, hey, we're figuring this out too. And so the more we start acting online, I think it helps them figure this out. So, I'm sorry. started doing, I'm planning my curriculum for next year, and I had a series of essential questions that I was supposed to come up with to connect with texts. And three of the essential questions that I was looking at, one of the first ones was, how do we define who we are? And I asked myself, okay, I'm going to be asking my students this next year. They're going to be reading books and novels and trying to figure out who they are. And how do I define who I am? In part, I'm a father. Part, I'm a son. Part, musician. An activist. An artist. And all of those things make me more than a teacher. And I think that our students need to see that the people that are spending that much time with them in the classroom are more than teachers. That we are real people, and that we are going through this process as well. And to build these kinds of relationships, I think, extends the learning community. So why am I bringing all this up? What does this have to do with anything? Okay. I think that as young people and young people start to interact, to operate online, and they start building their identities online, they're going to need some kind of guidance on how to present themselves in this new arena. And I think that you cannot teach someone something that you yourself do not know how to do, or you're not actively trying to learn how to do. So a lot of times I see teachers who are afraid to go through this process online because, well, we'll talk about the reasons why, because, but I think it's important later, because I think it's, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here, slow down, get back to it, let's go to the next slide. So, how do we form and shape our identities? We're going to move to the next section. So now we're going to the community section. I believe that teaching is about relationships at the end of the day. And what we do in the classroom, teaching is about relationships. And I think within the classroom, these are the three most important aspects of building relationships within the classroom. This idea of trust, openness, and honesty. And I'm sorry, I'm just losing it up here for a second. Give me a second to scream through. Figure ourselves out, how are we going to communicate it? I think the idea is that, let me just show you what I have. I promise, maybe it'll get me back on track. Once we figure out what we are, there's definitely a need. I think there's a human need to be able to express and share these ideas. So, I brought these to show you. These are my first blogs. And I started writing these blogs in 1992. Okay? And as you can see, it's kind of difficult to be able to embed YouTube videos into them or to have podcasts. But these are my reflections and my journeys trying to figure out who I am and how I posted them. The audience was not very big. It was usually myself, my girlfriend at the time, or a couple people who were at her house that would flip through these and say, oh, yeah, I agree with that, and that's kind of an insightful thing. After that, we moved to this. It was my second blog. We thought it was a good idea to kind of post these ramblings and print them off and walk around the street and hand them out to people. Right? They weren't very receptive. Usually we saw them in the garbage can a couple of minutes later. But it's this idea that we need to express our ideas and we need to share these processes with as many people as we can. And I think our students benefit from seeing this side of us as teachers. And the problem I see a lot of times is that people are afraid to do this. Okay? And I'm going to talk about the reasons why people are afraid. I think you guys know. But the benefits can be huge. So I'm going to share a story with you guys about a Lindsay. Okay? This is probably the one thing that what most people fear the most and what you should not do. Okay? but I think taking risks is important. Lindsay is a high school senior who lives in Hawaii, and I met her online. I know, it doesn't sound like the right thing, right? I found her on Twitter. She used to write for a website called Student 2.0, and she Skyped into my classroom a couple times to talk to my students about a variety of topics. And I started to read her blogs online. She started to read mine. We shared ideas about music. And last summer, she was in San Francisco, and I was in San Francisco, so we met up. And again, these are things that I think a lot of people would definitely frown about and say, hey, this is not something that should be happening. And to an extent, I agree. But this is a relationship that now I think she's graduating high school this year and moving on into the real world. It has developed into a place where we see each other as human beings. Okay, we've crossed the path of I'm a teacher, she's a student. It's this idea that we're learning from each other outside of the classroom environment. And I think that these guys that play the piano and talk about one buttocks up on the TV, they make it much easier than it really is. I've been working on this for like 10 days, and I just keep moving the trains of thoughts right and left. Let me see if I can just kind of sum up. I have 3 minutes left, and I know that. Let me see if I can have you walk out of here with something. I don't want to keep repeating myself. I can see that's what I'm doing. Get some audience participation here. I have 3 minutes to make this quick. Okay? Recap what I've said so far. Back to me.
Be vulnerable.
What else?
See yourself.
Okay.
Extend the walls of the classroom.
Okay.
Community. Social learning.
Alright. What else? Anything else?
Be real.
What?
Be real.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to break the rules.
Don't be afraid to break the rules.
Break down the boundaries between student and teacher.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What defines me?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Share.
All right, wait, I'm done. It was kind of a rambling session, but...
Push your agenda down as many throats as possible.
Okay, and the thing is, when I talk to people, and I'm looking at you guys, and can be like, why would anyone do this? Because it's a terrifying thing to do. And I've gone down this path, and I've gone too far, and I've learned my lessons. I'm much like a toddler, an adolescent in this aspect. I go as far as I can until I get in trouble, and I kind of come back. And I'm not asking you to do that. Okay? I'm not asking you to make yourself super vulnerable and share your deepest, darkest fears and dreams online and meet people from other states and go have coffee with them in San Francisco. I know this is a terrifying thing. But what I am asking you to do suggestions part, I have 60 seconds left, I think, is to start small and get online. And get online by sharing ideas that you have. Because until you guys get online, it makes it harder for us that are on there. Because we're always worried that we're going to get in trouble. And I think when more people are online, then we won't get in trouble as much.
I remember
a year ago hearing about this idea that of teachers being on Facebook. And everyone was like, oh, no way, you're not going to be on Facebook. Now almost every teacher I know is on. Or this idea, I read an article a couple days ago where they were saying that teachers should not use email with students. I mean, this just seems preposterous to me, these ideas of what people are afraid of. So I know you're afraid. I know fear is out there. So here's some things that you can do. I highly hope that as you leave here today, and you kind of listen to all my ramblings, and I apologize to everyone who's watching everywhere else, start a blog and share an interest. Okay? Maybe it doesn't have to be your... like I said, your personal thoughts or ideas or political ideas or all that stuff. But find something you're interested in outside of ed tech. Okay, ed tech doesn't count. There's enough ed tech blogs out there. We don't need to hear about 21st century learning and other ed tech blogs. Okay? Find an interest that you are interested about. Sorry, Julie. Find something you're interested in. Skiing, knitting, reading books, scuba diving. I don't know. Something that makes you more than just a teacher. Start a blog about it and just write about it. Get it out there. Two, Start a Flickr page. Share photographs of your daily life. Again, they don't have to be personal, introspective self-portraits. They could be your cat, your dog. Get these things out there. Start a YouTube channel and record video podcasts about your favorite books, about a podcast that you've seen, heard. Because as soon as you start doing these, let me get back to my final point. I know I'm over time, 30 more seconds. The one question I always hear after some kind of conference or session is, how do we make this change? How do we make classrooms and schools and teachers do these things? And my answer is, you have to start doing them. The teachers have to start doing them themselves. You cannot teach these students to be online, open, communicative if you're not doing it yourself. So if you remember one thing from today, is that you need to be online and share pieces of yourself with the outside. And I apologize for the derailment that happened.
I just want to read you something that Stephen Downs says.